Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, January 7th, 2021. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, DC Chaos Shocking to Bloomington Normal Residents, by Sierra Henry and Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. Watching from her desk at Investment Planners Incorporated in downtown Bloomington, Jen DeFries spent most of the afternoon shaking her head in disbelief as images of Washington flashed across a TV screen. "This isn't normal America," the 48-year-old Bloomington resident said. "They're storming the Capitol. I don't see what the point is. The division has got to stop." The rush into the Capitol occurred as lawmakers began the counting of electoral votes to certify Joe Biden's victory as president, which has been disputed by President Donald Trump and his supporters, who have made accusations of voter fraud. Nikita Richards, former chair of the McLean County Democratic Party, said the rioters were more proof that Trump, his behaviors, his antics, and his cult-like followers are a danger to the American people and our democracy as a whole. Richards said that it took 4 hours to bring some sort of peace to the scene, compared to the National Guard being called to the summer protests in Kenosha in a much shorter time, is absolutely grotesque. "This is clearly domestic terrorism playing out in front of the world," she said. "This puts us in a precarious situation, and I would argue it puts our homeland security at risk." Richards said, "Our allies and even our foes are watching us, and the violence in Washington, which she called risky, harmful, and careless, also puts the country's foreign policy endeavors at risk." McLean County Republican Party Chair Connie Beard said the violence on Capitol Hill is totally abhorrent to me and any member of the Republican Party, and the Republican Party does not support the violent actions taken. However, she believes what motivated those involved in the riots is up for question, and it would be wrong to disparage the peaceful based on the actions of the violence from a small group of people. "Whoever the criminals were, they need to be arrested and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Whether they were far-right extremists that crossed the line or whether they were far-left extremists that infiltrated a peaceful protest," Beard said. "Casting a wide net over everyone would be truly not fair and a disservice to the nearly 100,000 people who came to Washington, D.C. to express concern for the election system," she said. Richards countered by saying, "There were no peaceful protesters. These individuals should not be called protesters. These are rioters." She called on Beard to apologize for recent comments made in support for Trump and his dangerous rhetoric and challenging the electoral process and putting us all in danger. Richards said that the local Republican leader's choice to continue to stand by those delusional remarks is absurd and leads me to question her fitness to serve in office. Earlier in the day, Beard said, "I am hopeful people will let reason and respect for the law and peace be what motivates and guides them, and not let the actions of a very few people negatively impact what we're all searching for, which is the truth, the integrity of this election, and the preservation of our republic." Beard said she believes evidence of election fraud exists in several states, and she's hopeful for further investigation, so moving forward, we can have an honest election process that we can trust. "I'm confident that can happen." Others blamed Trump's leadership, saying they were not surprised by the violent outburst. Others looked toward the future healing. Governor J.B. Pritzker, a Democrat, called on Congress to begin impeaching the president. Trevor Rickard, a biology PhD candidate at Illinois State University, said, "As horrifying as this situation is, for people who have been paying attention, I don't think this was unexpected." Rickard explained that prior to the confirmation of the Electoral College vote, there were instances of political leaders aligning themselves with Trump and a buildup of unrest. That this is going on today is not surprising, but it does not take away the fact that it is equally horrifying, he said. In Uptown Normal, ISU student Carly Bickett, 20, of Plainfield, and Ezra Alves, 20, of Grand Rapids, Michigan, were shopping when they heard about the news. "I'm pretty shocked," said Alves, who was visiting the area. "I'm a little worried. I've got to be honest with you." Bickett called the news overwhelming, adding that if those breaching the U.S. Capitol were Biden supporters or Black Lives Matter protesters, there would just be more of an uproar. "It's just troubling to see how this is being handled versus the Black Lives Matter movements," she said. For many, there is much healing to be done before the country can move past Wednesday's events. "I believe Donald Trump has divided this country. That will take decades to heal," said Leona Smedley of Normal. "I do not understand how sane Republicans cannot see that the guy wants to be an autocrat." The 78-year-old was visiting Uptown Normal with her daughter, Michaela Smedley, after spending much of the afternoon following the events on Capitol Hill. While Smedley said she believes it is possible for the country to heal after the afternoon violence under Biden, she said, "I also believe that Republicans have to come to grips with the fact that Trump's direction is not the direction of the country." Michaela Smedley, 17, said, "The country will only begin to move forward when we get a new president." Richard said, "Today just really tells the story of who we are as a people, and if we want to change that story, instead of allowing disruptors to shape the story for all of democracy, then we all must play an active part in denouncing and taking action towards and against this behavior. Democracy is not a spectator sport, and it works best when everyone participates." The next story is entitled, State Farm Gives Vans to 5 Local Nonprofits, 12 Passenger Vans to Aid Work of Social Service Agencies, by Cade Heather. Bloomington. Home Sweet Home Ministries had no consistent way of transporting people from their shelter to various locations in the area. The Bloomington nonprofit serving the homeless and hungry received its first vehicle Wednesday from State Farm Insurance, along with 4 other local nonprofit organizations. "The donation of this van allows us to transport our shelter residents across town to different appointments if they need that help, or during this time of COVID, out for testing at the testing center," Home Sweet Home Ministries Chief Operating Officer Matt Burgess said. The other recipients of 12 passenger vans were Recycling Furniture for Families, Living Well United Senior Citizen Center, Mark First, and Community Healthcare Clinic. State Farm previously used the 5 vans for its van pool program, which allowed employees to pool rides together to and from work. The program recently ended, so State Farm had no use for the vans. The company decided to donate the vans to local organizations rather than sell them. Barb Whiteman, director of Living Well United Senior Citizen Center, was excited about the new addition. "We are so grateful," Whiteman said. "We would never ever have been able to purchase this. We are completely run by donations, and our seniors run the senior center like they do all the work. They raise the funds, they do the bake sales to put the lights on." The Leroy organization opened in July and did not own any vehicles. "The seniors are just awesome. We now can put them in a vehicle and go places together," Whiteman said. "Our last parade, we took 3 vehicles to get everybody there. Now we can do it with 1, so we are excited to be able to go to events." Recycling Furniture for Families has two box trucks to transport large furniture, but a lot of times we have smaller donations that we have to take to families in need. So actually, this will help us out a lot, so we'll have more capacity to help more people in the community, said Frank Downs, its executive director. Mark First had about 20 vehicles already for its 10 homes across the community, but none as big as its newest ride. This just allows our adults and our teams to take more adults to one place, because we only have minivans, so this certainly allows us to take more people to a location, which is phenomenal, Mark First Chief Executive Officer Brian Wipperman said. Community Health Care Clinic's new van will allow them to deliver medications directly to patients who have difficulties with transportation. The clinic will also use it to transport patients to and from physician appointments. And here's a story for Illinois entitled, Illinois May Ease COVID Limits January 15th. Regions Meeting Metrics May Move Out of Tier 3 Rules. By Grace Barbic. Springfield. Statewide, Tier 3 COVID-19 restrictions in Illinois could be lifted within 10 days. Starting January 15th, exactly one incubation period from New Year's Day, any region that has met requirements for a reduction of restrictions will be able to move out of Tier 3 mitigation plan, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced Wednesday. I'm cautiously optimistic as there are some early signs indicating that some regions have made real progress and won't reverse that progress this week or next, Pritzker said. The entire state has been under Tier 3 restrictions since November 20th in an effort to combat a potential holiday surge in cases. Under these increased restrictions, businesses are required to follow 25% capacity limits and close bars and restaurants to indoor service, a restriction that will still be in place even when a region moves back to Tier 2. Pritzker said that despite not seeing a post-Thanksgiving surge, he is still advising Tier 3 restrictions be upheld for one incubation period or 14 days to ensure infection rates remain as low as possible. After January 15th, regions will be able to proceed past Tier 2, which would allow restaurants and bars to reopen for indoor service, depending on their future infection and hospitalization rates. State Representative Dan Brady, Republican of Bloomington, said he was pleased to hear that the governor is willing to begin lifting some of his restrictions. Tier 3 restrictions effectively shut down some of our local businesses, especially our restaurants and bars that certainly can't expect customers to eat and drink outside in January. Brady stated in a news release Wednesday afternoon, his announcement today that he may begin rolling back restrictions next week is great news for our families and our communities. He continued, allowing our businesses to reopen is crucial for their survival, and I agree that it can be done safely with the continuation of mask and social distancing protocols. I'm very optimistic that with continued safety measures, along with wider vaccine availability, we will continue to move in the right direction. The McLean County Health Department on Wednesday reported 72 new cases of COVID-19, bringing the county's total of probable and confirmed cases to 12,089. At this time, 974 individuals are isolating at home. MCHD reported 10,960 individuals have been released from isolation and are considered recovered. More than 183,700 tests have resulted for a cumulative positivity rate of 6.6%. The rolling 7-day positivity rate is 9.2% through Tuesday, January 5th. 39 McLean County residents are reported to be hospitalized due to COVID-19. It is important to remember that this number does not represent all persons currently hospitalized for COVID-19 or for other treatment and care. Local hospitals provide care for individuals from outside the county, and McLean County residents may receive care outside the county. McLean County hospitals are reporting 62% of ICU beds in use, 76% of total beds in use, and 36 individuals hospitalized for COVID-19. Three additional COVID-related deaths have been reported, including a female in her 80s associated with a long-term care facility, as well as a male in his 50s and a male in his 80s who were not associated with long-term care facilities. There have been 116 COVID-related deaths in McLean County. In counties surrounding McLean, deaths were reported Wednesday in Champaign, Coles, LaSalle, Livingston, Peoria, Sangamon, Tazewell, and Woodford counties. Because of high demand for the COVID-19 vaccine, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices recommended two initial priority groups receive the first rounds of vaccination. Those in Phase 1A who are currently receiving vaccines include healthcare workers and residents of long-term care facilities. Phase 1B will include Illinois residents age 65 years or older and non-healthcare frontline essential workers. ACIP recommended residents 75 years or older be prioritized, but Illinois reduced the age by 10 years. Pritzker noted the average age of COVID-19 deaths is 81 for white residents, 72 for black residents, and 68 for Latino residents. Phase 1B will begin once Phase 1A is substantially complete, but a specific time period is not yet clear. Pritzker said many healthcare workers and long-term care facility residents are still receiving the vaccine, and a decrease in federal vaccine distribution could delay the move to the next phase. The increase in federal vaccine distribution relies heavily on whether the Biden administration will implement the Defense Production Act. President Donald Trump invoked this Cold War-era law in response to the pandemic, which gave him emergency authority to control domestic industries. The Defense Production Act was most recently used to prevent the hoarding of supplies, limit the export of medical goods like personal protective equipment, and increase the production of critical supplies. Pritzker anticipates a significant increase in vaccine distribution once the DPA is invoked. The state reported another 139 COVID-19-related deaths Wednesday, as the confirmed death count in Illinois from the virus rose to 17,096. Hospitalizations and positivity rates for COVID remained roughly level from the previous day, with the 7-day rolling average case positivity rate falling to 8.4%, decreasing for the second straight day. As of Tuesday night, 3,928 individuals were hospitalized with COVID-19 in Illinois, an increase of 23 from the day prior. There were 812 individuals in intensive care unit beds, an increase of 12 from the day before, and 451 individuals on ventilators, a decrease of 6 from Monday night. The hospitalization numbers appear to be leveling, with 27% of beds available statewide, 22% of ICU beds available, and 73% of ventilators. Here is a story entitled, Bloomington Normal NAACP Branch Releases Statement on Capitol Hill Riot, by the Pantograph. Bloomington. The Bloomington Normal branch of the NAACP, in a statement Wednesday, called those who stormed the U.S. Capitol terrorists and thugs. This was an extremely sad day for America, as African Americans watch the discrepancy with how they are often tear-gassed, water-hosed, and even threatened with dogs for lesser offenses, said NAACP President Linda Foster. The mob breach of the Capitol Hill came as lawmakers were certifying Joe Biden's presidential victory. President Donald Trump and his supporters have said the win is illegitimate because of voter fraud. Trump later took to Twitter to say protesters should disperse. Former President George W. Bush on Wednesday called the insurrection at the Capitol a sickening and heartbreaking sight, saying, "This is how election results are disputed in a banana republic, not our democratic republic." President-elect Joe Biden used a Wednesday speech to urge Americans to think what the rest of the world is looking at when they viewed the chaotic scenes from Washington. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker also called on Congress to impeach Trump. Carla Campbell-Jackson, first vice president of the local NAACP branch, said, "America can no longer ignore the realities associated with the injustices endured by African Americans. Disparaging treatment exists from the courtroom to the boardroom to the hospital room. Witnessing the stark difference with how Trump's protesters were treated on Wednesday, in comparison with how the Ferguson protesters were treated, is the antithesis of equality." And we have in their words how local officials reacted to the U.S. Capitol breach. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, Democrat. "I'm disgusted watching the violence playing out inside and around the Capitol," Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, a Democrat, said in a social media post. "First and foremost, I pray for the safety of our first responders, elected officials, staff, and the public. This violence is abhorrent and nothing like what the founders envisioned for this nation. The peaceful transition of power is a bedrock of our democracy. It is sacred and must be protected. Donald Trump has incited a violent coup attempt, and his enablers share responsibility for this, pure and simple." Illinois U.S. Representative Adam Kinzinger, Republican of Shanahan. "As supporters of President Donald Trump breached the U.S. Capitol, Republican U.S. Representative Adam Kinzinger tweeted, "This is a coup attempt." He then responded to a tweet by President Donald Trump who said, Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution, giving states a chance to certify a corrected set of facts, not the fraudulent or inaccurate ones which they were asked to previously certify. USA demands the truth." Kinzinger responded, "You are not protecting the country. Where is the DC Guard? You are done, and your legacy will be a disaster." Illinois U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, Republican of Peoria. "I have always fought for the right to peacefully protest, but there is a stark difference between protesting and rioting," LaHood tweeted Tuesday afternoon. "Lawlessness is never an acceptable answer. This must end now. Thank you to Capitol Police and law enforcement for working to keep people safe." Illinois U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, Republican of Taylorville. "This is a sad day for our country," U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, a Taylorville Republican, said on Twitter. "The lawlessness has got to stop. Protesters must leave the Capitol so Congress can resume the process of confirming the Electoral College vote. My staff and I are currently safe. More to say later." Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat. Senator Tammy Duckworth, an Illinois Democrat, said in an interview with NBC News that she was evacuated from the Capitol and is safe with a couple of her staff members. "I never in my wildest dreams would I think Americans would do this," she said. Duckworth said she supports peaceful protest, but this is a mob. This is a riot. She said the mob following the will of a wannabe tin pot dictator. On Twitter, she said, I've spent my entire adult life defending our Constitution and people's rights to peacefully demonstrate. I never thought I'd need to defend democracy from an attempted violent overthrow in our own nation's capital. I will not yield to those who seek to harm our democracy. And here's an item entitled, Ex-Bloomington Normal Resident in D.C. says, Unrest Crazy, by Lenore Sabota and Scott Perry. Washington. Former Bloomington resident Drew Sefton has lived in Washington, D.C. for about 20 years and is accustomed to protests in the nation's capital. Ahead of Wednesday's joint session of Congress, barricades went up, but things got quickly out of control. It's crazy to think that 2 miles from here is history in the making, Americans storming the Capitol, she said. The chaotic scene unfolded as demonstrators flooded the building and interrupted challenges to Joe Biden's Electoral College victory. Sefton, a former Pantograph staff member, said, When you get a crowd that big and that angry, that doesn't do much. David Paul Blumenschein, a small business owner who is running for Normal Town Council, and 49 other Central Illinois residents were at the Trump rally in Washington. It was a beautiful rally, Blumenschein said. All I saw today was a great celebration, a great rally. It was awesome. Blumenschein said the group arrived just as the rally near the White House was getting started and made the long trek back to their bus immediately after it ended. Like those watching the events unfold back home, Blumenschein said he has only seen a handful of images and reports about what was taking place at the U.S. Capitol. I always like to say it takes 3 or 4 days for the truth to come out, he said. He wondered who was involved, noting images of people in war paint and horns carrying Trump flags weren't seen at the rally he attended. There's too me corruption, he said. We need to fix the ethics. We are morally bankrupt in our country, and I think a lot of that has to do with taking God out of the classroom, God out of our country. And until we start getting serious about what morally bankrupt, we're not going to go anywhere, a country. Blumenschein said he believes there was fraud in the presidential contest and said the media isn't telling the truth. I don't think we are being told the truth, he said. If you want to calm things down, I think we need to start telling the truth. The Washington mayor issued a curfew from 6 p.m. Wednesday to 6 a.m. Thursday. Sefton said Washington is a wonderful and eclectic city in which to live, but at times like this, it can be very intimidating. Sefton said, here in D.C., we've kind of been bracing ourselves. And here's a little tidbit from today in history. Today is Thursday, January 7th, the seventh day of 2021. There are 358 days left in the year. And today's highlight is, on January 7th, 1789, America held its first presidential election as voters chose electors who, a month later, selected George Washington to be the nation's first chief executive. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for January 7th. Please stay tuned.